Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How can we keep our elderly family, friends, and neighbors safe? And what can we do to protect ourselves as we get older? May is National Elder Abuse Prevention Month, and sadly, the problems of abuse, neglect, and financial exploitation continue to plague many North Texans as they move into their final years, although most experts believe that represents just a fraction of those victimized. So what does it take to make things better? Molly Bogan is Executive Director of the Senior Source. Sherry Bullock is Program Specialist with Adult Protective Services, and they're here to talk about it. Welcome both of you to Think.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
What falls under the umbrella of elder abuse?
Any cases where there are elderly people that are 65 and older, and anyone that's 18 to 64 that's with a disability, then anyone suspects that they've been abused, neglected, or exploited, we investigate those cases at Adult Protective Services.
It's got to be challenging, in some ways more complicated than Child Protective Services, because when there's a child, there is an adult who is legally responsible for that child's care. Sometimes with a senior, there is not another person in their life who is responsible for taking care of them.
That's right. We investigate adults. So if they have the capacity to make their own decisions, then we take that into consideration. If they refuse our services, then we move on. But we do take into consideration at all times their capacity. We get assessments to assure that anyone is not left at risk.
Molly, I think a lot of people don't necessarily go immediately to financial abuse or fraud as something that is a serious danger to elderly folks. But in fact, it's almost like a gateway crime that for many of them can take them from living independently to being in really dire straits. Can you talk about that?
Yes, absolutely, because financial security really is the gateway issue to all public safety for older adults. And one thing we kicked off today with a collaboration here in Dallas down at the Commissioner's Court, and we'll be working real close with APS on this, we have now for Dallas, and hopefully something that will be replicated throughout the United States, it's one-of-a-kind center. It's called the Elder Financial Safety Center, and it's all about financial security, financial safety. And it's divided into three components. Would you like to hear a little more
Absolutely.
About it now? The collaboration is between the Dallas County District Attorney's Office, the Dallas County Probate Courts, and the nonprofit agency, the Senior Source. Of course, we'll be working with all sorts of key community agencies, and APS is one of those key agencies that we will be working with. We know that financial fraud is a big part of financial security, financial safety, but it's much more than that. So the center will look at, we're divided into three divisions. It's a virtual center. We don't have a bricks.
Not a building.
No, we don't have bricks and mortar. We're each in our individual settings, but we have one database, we have one central service delivery, and one central telephone number. Mm-hmm. But the Senior Source will deal with prevention, the prevention part of financial safety. The probate court will do the protection component. If someone requires a guardian and is not able to live in the community without their rights taken away, we'll deal with the guardianship program. We'll deal with that. Then the DA's office will deal with prosecution. Now, what's the difference? The difference is through this grant, which is from the W.W. Carruth Jr. Foundation at the Communities Foundation of Texas, we have additional resources, additional programs, and additional staff in each of these components to deal with the financial security and financial exploitation of older adults.
How aware are older adults that they might be at risk? You know, when you talk about prevention and wanting to make sure that everybody is secure, whether physically or financially, before something happens, I would imagine many people are taken by surprise the first time that they are harmed in some way.
Yes, a lot of elderlies use all their life to save money and the fact that they've gotten to the point where they've had hundreds of thousands of dollars and then now they have nothing only because they have entrusted their funds with those people that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year, APS in Texas completed about 69,383 investigations in the homes in regards to abuse, neglect, and exploitation. And of that amount, 48,392 of those were validated. In the North Texas area, we have the highest amount of validated cases at 9,809 cases. So it is a prevalent problem. It's a consistent problem. It's one that APS cannot fight by ourselves. We need the cooperation and collaboration with other agencies such as Senior Source, and we're pleased to see that this center is being developed now.
Molly, can you talk a little bit about how people end up being victimized by those that they've actually trusted to take care of them and to take care of their finances? Is it always a cut and dried case of somebody decides to you know, take dad's Social Security check and make off with it?
It's never a cut and dried case, yeah. Of course, but a great majority of the fraud against the elderly is by a family member or a caregiver. But the question was how?
Well, I'm wondering, for example, how these scenarios come about. I think for any of us who care about, say, our parents or elderly relatives cannot imagine doing this. But are people justifying it, saying, well, I need this car to drive mom to her therapy or that sort of thing?
Absolutely. And we've had one person that we know wanted to get his inheritance early. Hmm. So he took it from his mother early. But it can happen many, many ways. And I think one thing with older people, we see frequently at our agency, individuals who've been scammed, frauded, very intelligent people. They're with it in all other aspects of their lives. But there's something that happens with our frontal lobe of our brain when we age, and you are easily susceptible to frauds and scams. And that's why it's so hard and so important for us to have a prevention component as part of the Elder Safety Center to deal with prevention of these elderly frauds. Actually, exploitation as far as dollars, and this is probably this is what we know about, nearly $3 billion a year from elderly. It is huge. And we hope that with the center, we'll be able to do something to really make an impact on the prevalence of it. If I could add here, too, as far as financial security for older people, our center, yes, will address exploitation because that's huge. I mean, that's the most common crime against the elderly, financial exploitation. But we also know that financial security is affected by other things. There are other pitfalls that affect older people as far as their safety. And the center, our thesis is that a lot of this has to do with your income and whether you have appropriate counseling and education about these safety pitfalls, like, for example, preventing unsafe housing, preventing unsafe transportation, helping prevent older adults from making poor health choices.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that will be part of the prevention component, but the exploitation component is difficult just because of the brain.
Yeah. Sherry, what does it take to get older folks who feel that they have been victimized in some way, whether they've been neglected or physically abused or exploited, to actually report it? Because I would imagine there's an embarrassment factor if you realize that you need help and you never have before.
Right. And all the reports do not have to necessarily come from the elderly person. Mm-hmm. We receive reports from anyone in the community at large. They can call our APS hotline or they can make referrals via the internet. And it does not have to, they do not have to give their name. The reports could be made anonymous. If you suspect that anyone is being abused, neglected, or exploited, you're welcome to call. And there are many signs of that people need to be aware of.
Talk about some of those.
Say, for instance, signs of financial abuse. If you notice that your parents' bank account has an additional name on it that was never there before, or you see a lot of ATM withdrawals and you know that your mother is bedbound, or if you see unpaid bills coming to the house and you know they have adequate income to cover their expenses, those are some of the signs of financial abuse that maybe this needs to be checked out, and there are further things that you can look into. You know, a lot of people give power of attorneys away, but what they don't realize is that the power of attorney, that the funds are to be used for the elderly person's care, and that does not give them the authority to use them funds for themselves. So those are some of the criteria that we look at when we do these forensic investigations on exploitation.
Molly, what would you talk to older folks about if they're thinking about granting power of attorney to, say, an adult child or a good friend or someone they trust? What do they need to be aware of?
They need to be aware of what rights they are giving up when the individual has a power of attorney, and that they have some relationship with that person, a candid relationship of when the client would want that power of attorney to kick in. So I think that is just an educational matter, I think, for older people. And frequently, they don't receive that education.
Mm-hmm. I want to be really careful about generalizing here, because there are many people who get to very advanced ages and mentally they're doing great. But there are also cases where older folks, maybe if they're experiencing dementia, start to feel a little paranoid and not to trust the people who are, in fact, taking good care of them. Can you talk, Molly, a little bit about how such cases are investigated and how what it takes to communicate with someone who may not be in full possession of their faculties and maybe seeing problems where they don't exist or may need a different kind of care?
When we conduct those investigations, we talk to everyone that has any knowledge about the situation, and we gather any evidence that we can that's possible, whether it is financial records or hospital medical records, or if any other community agencies has been involved and have any records. And then we also evaluation take into consideration the person's capacity mm-hmm. assessment. And we do seek clarity and clarification from their physicians on the person's mental status. And we take that part in to come to a preponderance of our evidence to decide whether this person still has the capacity to make their own decisions at that point.
Mm-hmm. And then if the person does not have capacity, that very well is a situation where a guardianship needs to be considered and explored for that individual.
And sometimes that guardian can be someone who's already known to the person, and sometimes it's someone appointed by the court.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And actually, as part of the Elder Financial Safety Center, a protection guardianship is part of the agency. And the County of Dallas provides guardians for people who have families and so forth. They designate the family member as the guardian. But oftentimes, individuals literally have no one, or they have a family member or friend who is not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And that's when they go to an organization like the Senior Source for a guardian for the ward that has no one.
We're speaking this hour with Molly Bogan, who is Executive Director of the Senior Source, and Sherry Bullock, Program Specialist with Adult Protective Services. May is Elder Abuse Prevention Month. By the way, if you care about seniors, you should know that in 2011, more than 60,000 Texans over 50 were hospitalized for falls. 95% of hip fractures are the result of falls. Tomorrow during Morning Edition and All Things Considered, KERA's Lauren Silverman will report on how to prevent falls. Moving back to our discussion, we will return to it in a couple of minutes. You can join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. You can learn to navigate the ever-changing digital landscape with the Social Media and Digital Communication Bootcamp, June 4th through 6th at SMU in Plano. Details and registration at smu.edu/think.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're speaking this hour as part of May, which is Elder Abuse Prevention Month, with Sherry Bullock, who is a program specialist with Adult Protective Services, and Molly Bogan, executive director of the Senior Source. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 1-800-933-5372, send email to think@kera.org, or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think. Who is required to report suspicions of elder mistreatment?
Everyone in the community. It's the law. Mm-hmm. Like with child abuse, you must report it.
Yeah, and APS says it's everyone's business. Mm-hmm. So anyone that, if you suspect that an elderly person has been abused, neglected, or exploited, you're required to report.
And does the process work the same way as reporting suspicions of child abuse, that the reporter can remain anonymous to the apparent victim?
Yes, the process is the same. You can call in, you can give your name, information, or you can call anonymous. It's the same hotline that takes the reports for Child Protective Services. We have a statewide intake in Austin, and they send the reports to the local offices.
And if I could add, I mean, I know we're talking financial exploitation, but this applies. A lot of people think it just applies to physical abuse. Well, it's financial abuse also.
Mm-hmm. Are there signs, in the same way that Sherry described signs of some of the physical signs, are there other things that we haven't touched on that might be a clue if you know someone from church or you know a neighbor and maybe you haven't seen their checkbook, but are there things that people can look for?
Okay, you don't know their banking situation or their ATM. I think, sure, you can see things like if they've become withdrawn and they're more at home and not venturing out in the community, and they used to go to the grocery store and to church every week. Mm-hmm. They no longer are doing that. They used to have more association with family and friends or friends, neighbors, and they become withdrawn and isolated. Or if you go by their home and you just see things in their house that are totally not right. Their water has been cut off. Their electricity is off. All those kinds of things that could make you think for sure that there's some exploitation going on. And sometimes it might not be. It may be just because the person no longer has the capability to deal with those things. But I think they're things that we all need to look at and be very careful about, because we know the preponderance of elder exploitation is huge.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go on the line now to Paul in Dallas. Hello, Paul.
Thank you.
Sure.
I had a question. It maybe follows up a bit on what you just said, but just a bit of background. Recently, my mother was the target of a financial scam in which someone was claiming to be representing a relative that was supposedly in jail in a different part of the country from which he lived. And she was about to send him a check, but fortunately, another member of my family caught it in time and stopped it. When you find something like that out, do you call the police, or who do you call to report something like that? And what is how do you go about bringing those people to justice?
You can call the APS hotline. We will investigate it. If we find out it is actually a scam, sometimes we refer cases further on to the Postal General if it comes through the mail or the Office of Attorney General or the OIG. So throughout our investigation, if it's not something that APS can address directly, we make sure it gets referred to the appropriate person.
And I can say with part of the center, we're working closely with the DA's office, and there is an elder financial exploitation unit at the DA's office now. So an individual can bring that kind of scam, Paul, to the Elder Safety Center. We would put you in touch with the people at the DA's office, and if they think it appropriate and something that their office could handle, they do an investigation and possibly prosecute this kind of case. The problem is that particular crime or scam is very hard to follow up on and really get down to the bottom of it. And those scams are very very common with older people, and those in healthcare scams, and they are very, very slick individuals that are doing those particular crimes.
You hear often, Molly, as well, about elderly people who are taken advantage of by, say, contractors doing work on their houses.
Right. Roofing, all sorts of home repairs. They go in a neighborhood, they, quote, case it, and they know what homes are that elderly people live in. I mean, you can tell. And so they say, I can, you know, we just had a hailstorm. I'll stop at this little house with the picket fence and explain that we've got a great deal for this home. So those kinds of things can be brought in for the DA's office to look at also.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the line to Robert in Dallas. Hi, Robert.
Oh, hi, Chris. I have a question that's a little bit off topic, but my was curious if Adult Protective Services helped when senior adults are incapable of making good decisions on their own. Like, the reason I'm calling is my mother is in her late 60s, early 70s, very high-functioning person, but she's a classic hoarder. And I haven't been able to even be in her house in over 3 years. And I can just only imagine what it looks like. It's a very challenging and embarrassing and humiliating situation for her because she's a very high-functioning, you know, working adult. But to live in those kind of situations is really challenging. And I didn't know what agency this fell to because obviously my last attempt to kind of correct this situation just didn't work at all. So see if you could give me some guidance in this situation, what to do.
Thanks for your call. Any thoughts, Sherry?
Yes, those are the type of cases that APS does investigate. We go out and we'll make an assessment of the situation, build rapport with your mother, see if we can get in the house and see exactly what risk that she is at this point. We would try to get a psychological assessment on her to verify whether she has the capacity to make her own decisions. We have access to funds where at times we have gone in and helped clean homes in this situation, or we explore our options. We would work with the family to come up with a plan to see what was best for her.
So I suppose the call would be made to take action if it's discovered that the living situation is unsafe. It can't just be unsightly.
Right.
It sounds like from what Robert said that it's more than that, but that's what you're looking for.
And people's standards of cleanliness is different.
Mm-hmm.
But we would go out and make sure that it's unsafe and not just unclean.
Right.
You know, that she has... Some people have called in, say the place is unsanitary, but when you go in, the things are lined against the wall. It doesn't call foul risk. It's just a lot of clutter. But that's different from like a hoarding situation.
Right.
And we would do assessments on it. We have gotten code enforcement involved sometimes. And we've done what we can to alleviate the neglect. And that would be what we would call neglect.
Molly, can you talk about, are there, I mean, many elderly people in this country have access to Social Security funds and to Medicare. Is there a guarantee that homeless people will not, that elderly people will not become homeless, or that they will always have their basic needs met in this country? Or what happens when they run out of funds?
There's no guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you have with our center and the prevention part of it and our focus on income, we realize that we're living a lot longer and a lot of people are not going to have enough money to live on, no guarantee. And we have to start preventing the situation. And I don't think it's too old. It's not too late once someone is old, because we're predicting through our prevention services at the center that of the people, we have an employment program too. We are predicting that 50% of people that are in our employment program, they're all over age 50, that when we find a job, that will increase their income $11,000 a year. Now, we know not everybody can work, but we've got all sorts of activities that are designed to increase one's income or decrease their expenses, such as money management, budgeting, consultations about any savings they might have, a really thorough benefits review, because so many older adults are not receiving the benefits that they actually qualify for. I mean, the numbers are huge. And then we'll have debt management. So a lot of services at the center that can prevent the situation that hopefully of running out of money.
So many things these days, all the forms are online, right? And if older folks just never got accustomed to using the internet, are you able to help them with those kinds of forms?
Absolutely. I mean, at the center, and we actually have, now we can actually, older adults can come to us and they can apply for benefits at the senior source. So they don't, we're hoping that what we can do with this program, that older adults can come for prevention kind of things, one-stop place in Dallas.
Before they're in crisis.
Right, right.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to Nancy in Dallas. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I appreciate you and your guests bringing this to the forefront. My father actually went in front of the Senate hearing on the aging on April 30th. He was defrauded. He actually lost most of his income, most of his financial wealth, through people that were calling, selling gold and silver, basically, to him. It's advertised everywhere. It's not regulated. And he sat in front of the Senate with the CFTC, the FTC, and a crook. Hmm. And I've sent you a link to that via your email. The problems that arose in the Senate hearing was that the CFTC and the FTC are putting civil bans on these crooks, but the crooks don't care about the bans, and so they turn around and go out there and do it again. The person that was charged with defrauding my father, they were charged with, $25 million worth of fraud, and they don't have any money. They've made it disappear, and there is no consequence other than this ban. And again, this man that did it to my father actually was already banned from doing any kind of financial services at all.
Well, Nancy, first of all, I'm so sorry that that happened, and I admire your father for testifying. I'll remind you that neither of the experts we have here today is a prosecutor, but I think you're both familiar with efforts to ensure that individuals who do these things are brought to justice.
Yes, we are. APS does not get involved into a lot of the scams, because most of ours, the person has to be a family member, a caretaker, or someone that has an ongoing relationship. But even in those circumstances, we've had where elderly persons have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars, and we develop a specialized unit to focus in on a lot of the financial crimes and have been successful in referring a lot of those cases to the DA's office. Throughout the region, it's 19 counties in its North Texas area for prosecution. So I empathize with her. I understand the struggle that her father has undergone.
Hmm. And I would hope through the prevention part of this center that we can really spend time with individual older people. We know that group education might be more appropriate for caregivers or younger individuals. But if we can, if someone seems to have a family member sees that their parent has some problems with scams, frauds, you know, they're on the list. And once you're on the list, you can't get off. We can assign a money management volunteer to go into their home on a regular basis, go with them through their mail and try to talk about, you know, you don't want to deal with this, you don't want to deal with that, and to really try to get some information about accepting telephone calls. And oftentimes we have to work with family members, if there are family members, so that to work out some kind of system to prevent them from becoming victims, but it's very difficult. We aren't Pollyanna thinking that's going to solve the whole problem for Dallas County, but I think it can make a huge difference.
Is it easier sometimes for older folks to take that advice from an expert, a professional, a new friend than it is maybe from an adult child?
Absolutely. No question. No question.
Mm-hmm. And is that simply because, you know, family dynamics are complicated?
They are complicated. And, again, a lot of it's embarrassment, too, from the older adult. you know, they don't want their child who, you know, they raise, you know, to think that they would be so, quote, silly as to fall for one of these scams. And they come in daily. I mean, I receive them. It's once you hit 65, they're come somehow they all know.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to Pam in Dallas. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead, please.
Well, I'm calling because right now we're going through. My mother-in-law has been, we believe, taken advantage of. She had a friend that alienated the family, and we were getting letters every other month from my mother-in-law saying that she loved us, she hated us, she never wanted to see us again, and the people totally estranged the family. They took her to a lawyer, and they had her sign a deed that these people were buying a rent house from her, and they had the deed signed over to her. Now, when we got a hold of her, finally, and she realized that she felt like she had been had some kind of stress. She didn't know why she did that. Even the lawyer, when we talked to him, said he felt that she was mixed up, but he didn't know what to do in the situation. He felt like the other lady was pressuring her, and we wonder if there's anything we can do for this.
Well, Pam, first of all,
it's in Dallas County.
Okay, I appreciate your call. We're going to take a break, but we'll try and get some answers for you after this break. Thank you so much for that, and I'm sorry, that's a very sad story. We're speaking this hour with Molly Bogan, who is Executive Director of the Senior Source, and Sherry Bullock, who is Program Specialist with Adult Protective Services. May is Elder Abuse Prevention Month across the country. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org. Or you can send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Summer registration is now open with courses in art, history, literature, communication, piano, and Portuguese. Registration online at smu.edu/think.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. May is Elder Abuse Prevention Month, so we are speaking this hour with Sherry Bullock, who is Program Specialist with Adult Protective Services, and Molly Bogan, Executive Director of the Senior Source. You can join the conversation at 1-800-933-5372. Before the break, of course, we heard from Pam, whose mother, it sounds like, according to her, was tricked into signing over the deed to her house. And sounds like maybe there's two places she can go, starting with APS, Sherry.
Exactly. These are the types of cases that APS receives daily. Unfortunately, there are perpetrators that isolate clients, make them believe that they are the only persons that they can trust, and sometimes can manipulate them into making decisions that are not in their best interest. When this happens, or you realize that your elderly person could be subjected to manipulation, or could possibly be exploited or being neglected, then you need to call in APS as soon as possible on our 1-800 number, and we want to investigate and see if there's anything we can do. If APS cannot do anything, then we try to refer it to any other community agency that can. But we have had success in getting some of the actions reversed as far as property deeds. We've had success in referring these cases to the district attorney's office for prosecution.
And how, if a case like that were to be referred to the senior source, what could you do, Molly?
we would connect them with the prosecution component of the elder abuse of the Elder Safety Center, which is the DA's office and their whole elder abuse unit, and they would investigate, etc. But I think one of the beauties of, and possibly prosecute, one of the beauties of the center is that then when the prosecutor, the investigator at the DA's office is talking about the case and that sort of thing, then they could refer the family member back for counseling, consultation, et cetera, about prevention back over to the senior source. So it's the thing about the center, it's the DA's office, the probate court, and the senior source really working as one, and we go back and forth a whole lot, and that is the beauty of it. But frequently the cases would come to APS. APS would refer them to the DA's office at the center, and then again, they would refer them back to the senior source. It's very complicated.
It sounds very complicated. You know,
but we make it easy, I promise.
All of this is so alarming, and we have talked a lot about prevention today, but I wonder what you recommend to people, maybe even years before they're ready to retire, that they can do to put themselves, people only have as much money as they have, right, on the day they retire, but what can they do to protect themselves, to know they're making good decisions, and to know that there are some backstops to losing their money if someone comes in and tries to exploit them?
I think a first understanding is some education, and this is, again, before you get to that point where you can't make those decisions, to make some decisions that would protect you in the event that you would be susceptible to scams. It might be working with a community agency to provide some sort of assistance, could be with a family member that is trustworthy, that sort of thing. I think those are the kind of things that you need to sit down with family members, friends, and determine what do you want to happen in your old age, and deal with those things. What we do in this country, you know, we start planning for our children before they're born. You know, we know that they're going to go to UT by the time they're 2 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and where they're going to preschool. But with older people, because we all age so very differently, we don't plan, because we're just hoping we're one of those ones that'll go to bed one night and die.
Right.
But more than likely we won't. So we have to have that planning really when we're in our 50s, and particularly by 60s, so that you can take some safeguards to protect yourself.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to Jennifer in Dallas. Hi, Jennifer.
Well, Chris, you've just shown what a great interview you were, because I was just having that same question that you just asked. I'm 58, and I had a light bulb moment that in 22 years I'm going to be 80. Mm. And while I'm taking steps with my physical world, my house, to make it where a caretaker could live with me, et cetera, what are exactly the financial things that you need to do to put in safeguards for yourself? I have no children. My parents hopefully will be gone before I am, and I have a brother, but he lives long, far away. So as I'm looking for the path to take care of myself, what do you recommend the first steps be?
Thanks so much for your call.
We've had some clients that have thought ahead and have set up like trust, or went to a financial advisor. And that's what I would recommend, is find a good financial advisor and have them to go through the paperwork to set up what you need to do, who you would want to make those decisions for you in the event that you're not able to make those for yourself.
And I might add here, too, at the center, there will be certified financial planner and professionals that you can come in and you can get an unbiased opinion without any products being sold, etc. And that, again, someone financial advisor to begin the process.
At 58, would Jennifer qualify to come in to the senior source?
Yes.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to John in Dallas. Hi, John.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Yes. I am one of my hobbies is history and geopolitics. And so this is what's happening right now. It's a terrible time to be a baby boomer or to be retiring. One, because when the baby boomers were working, the inflation value of the dollar was not nearly what it is today. Houses were $12,000, brand new cars were $2,500. And two, there wasn't all this corruption in government. This is a prime example of free market economics. Let the invisible hand control the economy and have no government regulation.
Well, I'm not sure if either one of you wants to comment. You got a government job, Sherry, so I don't know if you want to say anything about this. But interesting points. I think that there may be a lot of people who agree with that. What are the laws like, besides saying that it's illegal to defraud anybody, in particular a senior, or to commit an act of abuse or neglect? Adult children are not legally required to care for elderly parents. Is this correct?
Yes.
Okay. So people shouldn't necessarily assume, and they can't necessarily assume, that their children will be there for them. It's awful to say. I know everyone's cringing, and I believe me, I'm hoping my kids will be there for me, and I hope to be there for my parents. But how often do you meet people who figure that their kids might take an active role and ultimately don't?
This happens often. When it does happen, we try to find the next available resource.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes family members do tell us that they do not want to be involved. Unfortunately, at those times, then we go to referrals to the senior source or to the Department of Age and Disability Services for guardianships when family members don't want to be involved.
Any thoughts, Molly, about talking to other people in your life if you might want to have a backup to help you in your elderly years?
As far as the individual plan or just generally about your plan for retirement, financial and otherwise?
I suppose making that general plan and knowing and finding someone who might be able to you can consult an attorney, for example, to set up some of those trusts, that sort of thing.
Right. I think one thing, and I'm, again, I keep talking about the Elder Financial Safety Center, but since it's all there in one place, a lot of these services that can answer those questions, because there will be professionals on staff that can help with the whole financial plan. There are people on staff at the senior source that can help with the social support kind of plan. I think one thing we've got to remember in retirement, yes, we think mostly we plan the financial part, maybe not as well as we should, but we do plan. We don't think about the other part, and that's what we need to think about, too, in our planning. And I think there are nonprofit agencies in the community that do help with that.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also send email to think@kera.org. Let's speak next with Sandra in Fort Worth. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Excuse me. I've been listening to your program and applaud your guests so much for what they're doing. I wanted to share a personal experience my family had with my sister-in-law, and not in someone else exploiting her, but her exploiting herself, in a sense. And it came to my niece's attention through her banker, who noticed that she was paying twice certain bills and not paying others. And it occurred to me that if this program has the capability or is already doing it, that in encouraging training and education of bank tellers and other bank personnel who will deal with older people, this would be a great place where that kind of problem could be identified, if the even if there are not family members who are seeing what the banking is, issues are. And I wonder if they are doing something like that at this point.
Thanks for your call. What a great idea.
Right. There are a lot of legal roadblocks to that, to the kind of information that banks and financial institutions can give out. And as I understand, there's some new situation, some new law that maybe loosens that up a little bit. But that is key, because
the tellers. They know the older adults, the bank records. They see that, and it's a wonderful place. But there are roadblocks for because it's sharing private information of their customers.
Well, Adult Protective Services is building a lot of relationships with the banking institutions. We do a lot of presentations. We let them know that we're there, why we're there, what signs to look for financial abuse. Or in this situation, it's more like self-neglect money management. She's unable to handle her own funds right now. So we are working to build those relationships. We're letting them know what signs to look for. And I feel like it has increased over the years.
And that's right. I mean, we do get referrals from banks, not with specific financial information of their customers, but if they think it's an individual who might need a money management professional or volunteer to intercede.
I wonder, Molly, how often people, as you mentioned, everybody plans or many people plan for retirement, but the situation changes when you turn around and it's time to start spending that money that you have saved for so long, and it's really a different strategy altogether.
Absolutely, and you do need to talk to a financial planner or some professional beforehand and to see, number one, is there enough money, and then how much money can you spend each month to be safe?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do we have time? I think we have time to take one final call from Gretchen in Burleson. Hi, Gretchen. Nice and quick for me, if you would.
Hi. I was just going to mention that it's really crucial for folks at all phases of life to get with a trusted attorney licensed to practice in the state in which they live to draw up their documents, powers of attorney, wills, medical powers of attorney. Medicare now provides for an end-of-life visit with your doctor that can explain all your end-of-life decision terminology. It will save your family members a lot of aggravation and a lot of money to have it properly done. You can try those kits and the internet things, but they usually don't work out. They're not cost-effective at all. It costs more money in the long run. And not only as you're getting older, but if you have kids, who's going to be their guardian if something, heaven forbid, should happen to you, as well as who do you want to be your guardian if you become incapacitated later in life? Estate probate planning attorney can refer you to a good financial planner, vice versa, and the good attorney can also refer you to a tax attorney to preserve assets because Medicaid estate recovery is coming back and demanding payment from people from, you know, sale of their homes and whatnot to be reimbursed if they need Medicaid.
Well, that uses up our time. I see my guests nodding. You would agree that a lot of that sounds like good advice to you?
Excellent advice.
All right. Thank you so much. Sherry Bullock is Program Specialist with Adult Protective Services. Molly Bogan is Executive Director of the Senior Source. May is Elder Abuse Prevention Month. It's been lovely to have you both here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is Assistant Producer. Jeff Whittington is Executive Producer. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think, and you can contact the show via email at think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.